Hello and welcome to this podcast series where we ponder on God's personhood. I'm your host Natalia and we're in conversation with Pastor Jeremy. We're on our second last podcast and if you've been with us through this journey, let us know by commenting or writing to us at pscjeremy@gmail.com. We'd love to hear your thoughts. So Pastor Jeremy, what's the title we're going to look into today?
Hi Nat and hi everybody. Good to be back on this podcast. I'm just enjoying the names and titles of God as we look at them from a devotional point of view because you know, you just can't get away with the beauty and the strength that one feels and senses as you understand that my God is Jehovah, my God is all-powerful, my God is not just my God is great. I mean, that's not personal. It gets personal when you begin to realize the words that God attaches to his name. When he says, like last time we looked at, when he says, I am with you, I will uphold you, I will dismiss your enemies. And then you wonder, Lord, really, would you do that for me? Are you really that committed to me personally? Am I just not one, you know, small part of this creation of yours? No, it is. It's personal. And me understanding who God is and how people have come to know God personally by giving him titles, giving him names, we too can walk away very strong. Today's title, today's name for God is Jehovah Sabaoth. Jehovah Sabaoth. I mean, if you really get into the Hebrew, it's like T-Z, T or T-S, but let's just go with Sabaoth, okay? Jehovah Sabaoth. This occurs 270 times in the Old Testament. 270 times, unlike the last one, which occurred just once in Judges 6. And this is an incredible, name because Sabaoth means armies or hosts. I mean, we don't even use that in modern day language, but when you talk about armies in the thousands, you don't even see them coming at you today like that. Today, it's stealth. Today, they're divided up. They're on the ground. They're hiding. They're camouflaged. But you got to go back to that Old Testament style armies where you got one army on this side of the valley, another army on that side of the valley, people counting the number of people in the army. And we're not just talking about one just group of people or one army that's standing there. We're talking about multiple armies, Put all the armies of one nation together in their tens of thousands. And you just see this incredible sea of soldiers, It should send rippling fear through you as you come face to face with that kind of an army. And then this name says that he is the Lord of hosts. He's the Lord of armies. So the word Sabaoth means armies or hosts. And this occurs in 1 Samuel chapter 1 verse 3, the Lord of armies. And it gives us a sense of a universal sovereignty over every other army. So there is the armies of heaven, you know, the captain of the armies of the Lord or the hosts of heaven. You got the armies of heaven because you know that angels are warriors. They're not cupids, they're warriors. And they're in the thousands and they go to war in the thousands. And we have not even a clue what heaven is like in that sense. But if you got the armies of heaven and God is the God of the armies of heaven, you can only imagine that all the armies of earth are subservient to that. So his universal sovereignty over every army, both spiritual armies and physical, earthly armies. He is the Lord of hosts, plural. So if you have a host of army and there are hosts of armies, if there are armies going against each other, God is above both. He's above all armies. He's the king of all heaven and earth. So there is literally no host, no armies, no. If you would collect all the armies together from all of the earths and all the nation and all of the kingdoms, and put them all together to rise up against God, he would still be Lord over all of them. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So we're looking at this from a very strong rulership, sovereignty sense. And it gets personal in just a moment, but that's the picture. Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts, the Lord of hosts. Let me connect it to some Psalms here just for your benefit today. Psalm 24 verse 9 and 10. Psalm 24 verse 9 says, lift up your heads, O ye gates, be lifted up, for the King of glory will come in. Who? Who is the King of glory, you ask? He is the Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Be lifted up, ye ancient doors, for the King of glory will come in. Who is this King of glory, you ask? It's the Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. And then Psalm 84, verse 3. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. 270 times this shows up. So you've got lots of scriptures to go back to where God pronounces his strength, his rulership over every army that is. Every government, every political government stands behind its armies. At the end of the day, it's the armies that defend, the armies that go to war, the armies that secure the border. The politicians behind it are the ones who strategize, but it's the armies that go to war. And the armies of all the worlds are subservient. There is no kingdom formed against him. There is no armies that could rise against him. And that army and that Lord, the Lord of the armies of heaven, is our God. What a picture of power. What a picture of might and dominance and rule. Kingdoms, thrones, armies, all at God's beck and call. All at God's command. There's nothing to fear. I mean, there's nothing to fear. You can watch the news, but you needn't fear. You can see wars, you can see rumors, hear rumors of wars, but there's nothing to fear. And in all of the threats that exist, from sword and spear to biochemicals, no matter what armies will try to do today, God rises above all of them. And then there's the spiritual armies, the hosts of heaven, and he is the Lord of hosts. Okay, let me put it this way. What's your view of God? How do you perceive Christ of glory, Christ in heaven? And I submit to you that we need to start switching pictures. We need to reprogram from seeing the beat up Jesus on the cross, from seeing the sad Jesus in the pictures with a broken heart, to seeing a God who's so in control that there is not even a weapon formed against him that will prosper. There's no mind that can think up a strategy to take him down. There's nothing that comes close to him to even begin to threaten his sovereign rule, his reign, the fact that his throne is his throne and is set in heaven and eternity forever. You get what I'm saying? We are the ones who need to reprogram our view of who he is. And hence, we are given such glorious names of God, glorious names of God. There's God who's love, there's peace, joy, and all that. That's wonderful. But Jehovah Sabaoth, he's the Lord of the hosts, the Lord of the armies of heaven. I just love this. I love the fact that we are challenged to think differently about how God sits enthroned above the circle of the earth, majestic in all his glory, where creation is spread out like a footstool beneath his feet, and where his enemies are brought to naught by just the word of his mouth. That the word coming out of his mouth is like a sword, that his eyes are like flames of fire, that we don't even have anything parallel to be able to express what he looks like, what he is like, and how powerful he is. And I can just gloat in the fact that whatever that is, he's my God, and he's got my back. The captain of the armies of Israel, the hosts of heaven, that God, he's my God. So recognizing God as Jehovah Sabaoth emphasizes his sovereignty and authority over all creation. And he commands angelic hosts and he commands earthly armies alike. Trusting in Jehovah Sabaoth instills confidence in God's ability to conquer enemies and overcome obstacles in the believer's life. What seems insurmountable to you? What seems beyond your strength, beyond your reach? What fear has taken over so greatly that this God of armies, this God of hosts, can't take him on? Well, I think we need to start hiding behind the strength of our God. We need to start employing the power of God, the power and the throne of God in our lives. I think we'll come across a lot more strong to ourselves first and also to the world around us. We have nothing to fear, nothing at all. Yahweh Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts, the King of glory. Let's worship him. Let's continue to lift him up as we prepare our hearts and thoughts, coming closer to this Easter, this Good Friday. Our Father in heaven, we worship you. We worship you for all these names. We worship you for all these reasons. You are God of heaven, seated on the throne that will never pass away, speaking words that will never pass away. By your word, creation comes into being, and by your word, it collapses into itself. Father God, you exist and you are enough and you are complete without anything, without anyone. You are God and God alone. And you don't need any man to be the God you are. So we worship you, Lord. And these titles only bring us closer to the ground as we bow, as we understand your greatness. How proud we are. How proud man is. As we listen to people, read books, listen to podcasts, listen to glorious statements made by limited men in their heyday, in their season of life where they feel strong, think strong. They're nowhere close to their birth and they're nowhere close to their deathbed. Somewhere in the middle of that life where their muscles flex and their mind is at work, we in our pride make statements so lofty, we don't understand before whom we make those statements, before whom we live that life. We're a proud, arrogant race and a proud, arrogant breed. And we need a picture of this God who sits over the armies of heaven and those armies of heaven which sit over nations and armies of the earth. And that this is an organized rule. It's an organized creation. We would do well to fall in line with that command. It is our privilege and honor to be submissive and to be subservient to that command by faith and not by force, by belief. Thank you, Father God, for opening our eyes, drawing us to yourself, so that the God of heaven, of the hosts of heaven, who is a threat to every enemy, is our friend. He's our God. He will help us and he will lift us up and he will strengthen us and lead us by the hand. So Father, as we see a demonstration, prepare our minds to remember the demonstration of that power as you defeat death itself. Every last enemy has been defeated when death is defeated. So we remember that our God is a powerful God and we worship him, his glory, his might. Thank you, Father God, for revealing yourself to us, for these beautiful words. May everyone listening be encouraged. And right now, those who are hearing this prayer, may they pray up the things that have filled them with fear and surrender them to the God of peace, the God who rules the world, the God who is all-powerful. And let these devotionals lead us out of a place of weakness and dismay and confusion and fear. Lead us to a place of strength and clarity and assurance. This is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Before tuning out, listen to part of this song and let's continue to think on those lines as we lead up to the Resurrection Sunday.